listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Tuesday, May 21st, 2019, and I'm just kind of asking the rhetorical question, but not entirely. Who benefits from strategy of tension events? And we've had some high-profile passings recently. A couple months ago, it was Jeremy Richman, Sidney Aiello, and I forget the young man's name, who all allegedly committed suicide. And there have been a rash of high-profile 37, 38-year-old folks dying. Rachel Held Evans, Pua Magasiva were a couple of those recently. And now Austin Eubanks is a sort of crossover figure who was found dead in his home over the weekend, and he was a Columbine survivor, dead at 37 years of age, and no apparent signs of foul play, according to authorities. So we're talking about that. Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, so and looking at the various variables here, if the average high school student graduates between the ages of 17 and 19, and then at five-year intervals you start having your high school reunions, well, at 37, you know, so this guy was probably had the opportunity to be to his 5, 10, and 15-year reunions. It's right coming up on a 20-year reunion. And as I've been going to my reunions, I've noticed there's sort of been there people unexpectedly pass away. I mean, I went to my 40th reunion last year and was very dismayed to start to see, you know, some more names of people that I knew more. Like, wow, it's just really incongruous that this person passed away or that person passed away. So while statistically, you know, we do get the 3-score and 10, 4-score by spank, you know, some people do pass away along the line. Now these people from Columbine, you know, they've also finished growing up in that, you know, dysfunctional atmosphere after the events. Some of them may have had PTSD issues of their own personally. And then, you know, okay, so someone dies, now they could have died by their own hand by suicide, they could have been assassinated, or they could have died because of a, you know, health issue. Now, if someone does die from natural causes, okay, so the story makes the news, but if there truly were no signs of foul play, there would be no reason to follow up, really, because you might report the person's death. But then the health circumstances, that's sort of a HIPAA matter, you know, where I'm from nursing. That's a privacy issue thing. So it might be reported. Now, if there were, this play was suspected, now you've got an investigation to follow that's newsworthy. So all this stuff comes into play. The thing is, now some of these people, even if there were foul play, let's say they go to their 5, 10, and 15, and 20 friends, and these kids remember things from that day. And if things were falsified, and they all start, as adults, comparing notes and say, wait a minute, you know, all these years we've been hearing this, that, and the other thing on the news, but I remember this. Did you remember this? Because I remember this happening, and I remember that person being there. And if somebody's out there stirring the pot of the memories of these kids, you know, and then this becomes a threat that these kids who were old enough to actually remember some of this, you could see how that might put them on somebody's targeted individual list. No. So, I don't know. What do you have to say about all that?
I'm not sure that, you know, I guess my question would be, what do you mean by put somebody on somebody's targeted individual
list? Well, I mean, in other words, if these tests are suspect, if the person was targeted for assassination because they were asking too many questions later on, you know, now that they're an adult, and in your 30s, you're kind of, you're in your prime in terms of wage earning, physical health, intellectual, and educational maturity. If you are to be a threat, you know, to somebody, you are at your most able in your, you know, say 30s or into early 40s, let's say, something like that. You know, so somebody might be afraid that might actually try and do something about it, getting it, you know, that, you know, start to interviewing people or doing something systematic or putting together a support group or something like that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with the, you know, the combination of the Sandy Hook and Parkland incident. When you have the 2019 Violence Summit taking place at Florida Atlantic University, Jeremy Richmond was the keynote speaker at that event, March 19th, and Sydney Aiello was a student at Florida Atlantic University. She was one of the Parkland incident survivors, and so within a week of that event, both of those two and one other Parkland incident survivor student were all dead of alleged suicides.
Right. Right, which, okay, so now I didn't have all those facts straight, so I understand. Well, then that obviously, you know, does make it more suspect because they're calling too much attention to this issue and they therefore become a threat if they act, you know, in the event that they were actually managed to bust something wide open, you know. I kind of get that. But I just wanted to also address the issues that people would excuse to try and be dismissive of this. You know, it's like, well, every class statistically has some people who die, and, you know, this one had a heart murmur and that one got a cancer and this one was in a car crash, you know, but suicides.
I guess the point that I'm making is it seems like, you know, it really is, this is kind of a hard line in the sand. It's one of those moments where it becomes pretty self-evident to me. If you view these high-profile events with suspicion, as I do, especially when the narrative just doesn't add up, you don't see means, motive, and opportunity play out. You know, Stephen Paddock in Las Vegas, for example, there seems to be, you know, means is questionable, motive, well, there is none. There's never a motive in these incidents. And when you are investigating a crime like this, the first thing you look at to establish suspects is motive. Who has motive and who benefits from all of this? And we know that in a strategy of tension scenario, in a strategy of tension styled event, the national security state apparatus benefits.
Right. Always.
And we also know that they plan these kinds of events. We know that they have means. We know that there's motive. We know that there's opportunity. So why are we never looking there? It's one of those hard lines where, you see a sort of, to me, it's a division of society. If you look on these events with suspicion, then these kinds of things are clearly red flags. You know, Austin Eubanks passing, the latest in a recent rash of passings. He's the fourth that I'm aware of in the last 2 months connected to these high profile incidents that have been waved in our faces for 20 years now, going back to Columbine as, you know, maybe the most, emblematic, and it's always, you know, Columbine, Sandy Hook, events like that. Parkland now is reverberating because there are a number of actors, I think, that really support that narrative, folks like David Hogg. And so,
well, Sandy Hook has become kind of the untouchable third rail, because anyone who questions some of the even, you know, documentable aberrations about, you know, Sandy Hook is, you know, shamed, you know, jumped upon and shamed mercilessly. I mean,
sued, litigated.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I mean, with Wolfgang Halbig and stuff, I mean, they must really hate the fact that such a credentialed person could look at so many of the variables and say, wait a minute, this is irregular, that's irregular, you know, blah, 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 blah. And not even allowed to look at that stuff. So Sandy Hook is the third rail at the moment. Columbine, but you talk about this violence stuff, okay? The big payoff is the conditioning in society, where everybody's conditioned to be scared little rabbits. Go into your room. Everybody, we're on lockdown. When I was a kid, we never had any term of, you know, anything, we're on lockdown, you know. And everybody's just supposed to stay there and huddle and wait for the person to arrive and shoot them. And so we've got this managed, I mean, in terms of the effect on the society overall, I mean, in terms of turning people into lemmings, nothing has been as successful as that. I mean, these kids are raised as little scared rabbit, you know, lemmings all the way through school. And what kind of adults are they going to be when they go out into society? They go out into the workplace, you know, wondering, where do I go if there's a lockdown? You know? I think we lost Chris. Okay, this is Wynn from Philadelphia speaking, and I believe I'm still on the air, and I'm hearing some sort of steak noise, which leads me to believe Chris was cut off. So I'll let the producer chime in and or do whatever he wants. But by the way, these communications interruptions...
The person whom you're trying to reach...
These communications interruptions seem to occur when discussing things that are controversial. You very often, one might be talking to somebody and a phone can work fine for hours, and then when to possibly discuss something controversial, then it's amazing how suddenly the cell phone network or Skype network or internet, it becomes problematic or undependable.
Right.
So,
it is an interesting coincidence.
Was that you? Did I assume the right thing? I assumed that you lost your Skype connection. I kept talking. Did that work out okay?
Yeah, we had a little technical glitch there. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny how that
happens when you're talking about things to which someone might take exception.
Right. You know? Yeah.
It happens all the time. But anyway, so...
So I think, you know, as you're looking at what's going on, you look at the things that we're talking about, and again, you know, suddenly there is a resurgence of clamor to investigate Obama, Biden, you know, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, John Brennan, James Clapper, all of the intelligence community folks, and there's finger pointing. Now we're getting, Loretta Lynch back involved, Comey, you know, all of the intelligence community and the DefSec apparatus basically are involved in finger pointing and they're scapegoating. And to me, it's a big flashbang in the media, which is interesting. And I, you know, my mind believes that it coincides with the untimely passing of Austin Eubanks, if not the others, Jeremy Richmond, Sidney Aiello, and the other young man. I can't remember his name. And it's weird how difficult it is to find their names. as you look back in the news, and I have it in my notes somewhere, I can't find it for some reason, but it's difficult to, you won't find their names, you know? And I haven't seen an update. There was supposed to be, as I understood it, and I mentioned the Fox News story when I started talking about Austin Eubanks this morning, there was supposed to be an autopsy yesterday, and I haven't heard anything about that. So I think these things are all curious, in my opinion.
Right. Well, a bunch of Mad Magazine, spy versus spy, you know, the Hegelian dialectic always serves well and always keep us distracted and upset and in a flap and that sort of thing, you know. But if the person were despondent, suicidal, kills him or herself, I mean, that's a legitimate, you know, that would be legitimate, you know, to keep that out of the news, you know, for privacy, you know, for privacy matters. I mean, if they subsequently found that out. But you could see how they'd want to keep things hush-hush, you know. But like you say, yeah, it's, you know, three times as enemy action, so, you know, it's too much going on. But I don't know that we can ever hope for a society in which truth is sufficiently valued that someone in a position of power and authority will stand up and say something about it. You know,
I think it comes down to this. You know, I'm kind of dancing around, which I usually don't, because I mean, who has all the facts? Who knows? You know, most of this suspicion is built on mainstream news coverage. And how reliable is that? You know, I think of Thomas Jefferson writing that the man who reads nothing is better informed or closer to the truth than the man who reads newspapers alone. So there is that element. But at the same time, you know, you have to ask the question when you have these high profile incidents. I mean, we have these, you know, Columbine, Sandy Hook, Parkland, these kinds of events that are constantly thrown in our faces. We've seen more of that this year. It's kind of a combined effort to sort of roll those three in particular together and use that for greater momentum and effect, it seems to me, in the press. And at the same time, you have folks like Jeremy Richmond, Sidney Aiello, and the other young man passing away in conjunction with these high-profile incidents, and you have Austin Eubanks. So when you – again, it seems like the dividing line in society. If you believe that there is reason to view these high-profile incidents with suspicion, that they're suspect every time they happen because the facts don't add up, you know, Stephen Paddock does something but there's no motive for him to plan something for a year and spend over $100,000 to do it, and then pull it off at the worst possible moment. Poor timing. He's going to survive, but he doesn't. And whatever happened to his hard drives. But then you start looking into these things, and you understand that if it was a wet team that was conducting an operation, then you know, to pull the hard drive out in advance, you know, the hard drive and a laptop, pull that hard drive out in advance of the operation, and run it from a flash drive. And maybe pull the battery too. So all you have to do when you leave is pull the power cord on the laptop and the flash drive out of the USB port, and you have essentially erased all evidence of the operation that was on that laptop. When you understand those things, right, then you start to ask questions. And you know, in these events, again, the national security apparatus is great at creating Manchurian patsies. Great at creating, you know, folks that don't know, go look at the detailed account that William Pepper has given based on years of research of what happened in the case of James Earl Ray and how he was used and allowed to escape from prison. And that was a coordinated effort that was very cleverly conducted, And then James Earl Ray is allowed to gallivant around the North American continent until he's supposed to be in Memphis. So, you know.
Well put it this way. If Smedley Butler was able to assert his operations dwarf those of Al Capone, and that was back then, imagine what it's like today.
Absolutely. You know? And on that note, be right back. Stick around, folks.
And your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Do you have anything else to add, Glenn?
Not to that. I was going to bring up something totally different, but for just a minute, uh-huh. If I did.
Go ahead.
About computers. I just visited my favorite regional computer superstore. There aren't too many of those left these days, but yeah. We go in this place in the mid-90s, and it's a little depressing to go in there now. Because I go back and I remember the days of the advent of the PCs, and everybody would go in there to get the latest hardware and build their own PCs. It was the age of the personal computer, and And it was always so exciting to, you know, do the next tech upgrade of sound cards or processors or RAM or video cards or whatever. And now we've gone from the age of the personal computer to where computers are very impersonal. And the network's all been put in place. And it's now, it's not your personal computer. You as a person are only significant in the sense that your data can be gathered. And everything's all about security and preventing hacking and viruses. And it's just kind of depressing. It's kind of like getting excited about having built a railroad and doing the Golden Spike and having to being able to facilitate this wonderful form of transportation from coast to coast, only to have barbaric sickos use the train as a platform to slaughter bison by the thousands for no reason whatsoever. And, you know, you have something put in place that could be so edifying, and yet its purposes are turned to the nefarious. It's just kind of depressing.
I couldn't agree more, and well said. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been there to pick up.
That does sort of, you know, it's kind of off topic, but really not. I mean, it does definitely tie back to the broader discussion. So,
absolutely. I went in to pick up a cell phone because of all the problems I've been having with my cell phones, which should be working. I have Android smartphone, but they won't upgrade them. They won't upgrade the BIOS. They can't install new apps. So you're forced to upgrade, and then everything has all the Big Brother stuff on it, fingerprint scanners, face scanners. It's all about, it's not just about facilitating communications for me, it's about tracking my communications.
Yep. And you are essentially, you know, the consumer and the person this technology is ostensibly designed for becomes sort of incidental to the technology and the broader agenda. And that's exactly, again, getting back to what we're talking about. I mean, that's why I have a concern and why I'm trying to say, hold on a second. This doesn't add up. There's something wrong here. And what you said reminds me of the passage from Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget Manifesto that I always go back to. Anyway, great points, Glenn.
All right, thank you, Chris. I am a gadget.
Shit.
A resistant strain gadget. Anyway, all right, Chris, take care.
Just kidding. Right on. Thanks, Glenn. So, you know, the excerpt just for posterity's sake from Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. Two sides of the same coin, as I put it. Jaron Lanier wrote in Chapter 2, An Apocalypse of Self-Abdication, if you believe the rapture is imminent, fixing the problems of this life might not be your greatest priority. You might even be eager to embrace wars and tolerate poverty and disease and others to bring about the conditions that could prod the rapture into being. People like perhaps you, definitely I, who have witnessed this, say, yes, that's brilliant. That's a great way to put that, you know. And those of us who are concerned by these things and those concerns being dismissed by these folks that are just sort of hypnotized by this and transfixed on this sort of mindset, you know, it's mind-boggling to witness. The other side of the same coin is the singularity in Jaron Lanier. Of that, Lanier wrote, in the same way, if you believe the singularity is coming soon, you might cease to design technology to serve humans and prepare instead for the grand events it will bring. And that is precisely what I see happening when Glenn says what he says. And, you know, that account that he was detailing. And people don't realize how dehumanized we have become and how we're just drifting in that direction. And now, as Lanier points out, it seems like there's a coordination of events and efforts that are sort of congealing around advancing these kinds of dehumanizing efforts, which is astonishing to me. Absolutely astonishing. Stick around, we'll be right back.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You know, just to Glenn's point real quick before we go back to the phones, you start thinking about this and we hear the argument, automation technology doesn't take away jobs, and you see folks like Ted Kaczynski writing his manifesto saying, hold on, not so fast, which is kind of an understatement, I realize, but it's not necessarily just the jobs. It's the interpersonal communication that goes away and the dehumanizing effect or the dehumanization that follows to me, that's a bigger concern. You think about horse travel as an example, and this is just a quick broad brush illustration, but back in the days when folks would, you know, travel by covered wagon or carriage or whatever and go to town by horse travel, you had the liveries and stables where horses were put up, and folks obviously would communicate with one another. There was interpersonal communication there. And then we transitioned to the automobile, automotive travel. And, you know, some folks still recall the service station attendant. They were called service stations, not gas stations, because you got service. And people would come out, someone would come out, the attendant would come out and offer to pump gas for you, offer to clean your windshield, and usually you were greeted with a smile. And then through the Eisenhower era, we got the interstate highway system, and people started, you know, there were the big land yachts, as they've been referred to, with big bench seats and, you know, floating suspension, and people traveled across the country with regularity. But, you know, you go hundreds of miles without seeing anybody. So you'd fill up, a lot of times you'd fill up, you know, pump your own gas and start traveling hundreds of miles without seeing another person. Less interpersonal communication. And so we went from horse travel to automotive to long range travel with no interpersonal interaction. And that's one example. Phone switchboards is another. I heard a story recently about a woman in her 80s talking about how when she and her husband first met, their first date, actually, after their first date, she was nervous because she wasn't hearing from him. Well, he was working in the fields as a farmer, young farmer, back in those days. And she's also talked about how that all has changed. You know, they farmed that farmland throughout their married life. And she talks about how farmers who are subsidized, which is sort of redundant because what farmer isn't subsidized these days, are required to spray Roundup on their crops. That's a part of the subsidy requirement. And she talks about how the rain doesn't smell good after a rain anymore, and they don't hear frogs down by the creek anymore on the farm. But she talked about how after their first date, you know, she finally started hearing from him, and it turned out that he was just working late on the farm and unable to call until late, but he would wait until around 9 o'clock. And this was in the days when the phone switchboards got turned off for the night at 9 PM. So he would call just before 9 PM and they talked for a few short minutes, but he was also trying to do that so the family wasn't listening in, because obviously there was one phone in the house. This was before cell phones, obviously, long before. And, you know, so they would chat for a few minutes, and then the switchboards were turned off, so you couldn't call somebody if you wanted to. Now we have social media. And the irony of all of this information being posted and all of these photos being posted with zero real or actual interpersonal interaction. And I think it would be interesting if towns took a hiatus or imposed a soft ban or curfew or something at a minimum. You know, in an extreme case, maybe a town took a break from social media for a year just to see what happened. I mean, what could possibly go wrong with something that is more addictive than heroin, for starters? Maybe kids shouldn't be doing that in the first place, but, you know, at a minimum, maybe shutting it off, like the switchboards used to get shut off, and all of those IP addresses turn off at 9 PM. I wonder what would happen if we started heading back that direction. So we can all see, we've all witnessed what happens when young people gather, and it's not just young people, but in my experience, it's predominantly younger and younger generations who are more and more characteristically gathering with these devices, and they're talking to each other as they're sitting together in physical eyeshot of one another while they're using their devices to communicate with one another and other people, which is very, to me, that's bizarre and unnatural. And that's all part of a social conditioning effort that, to me, coincides with specifically what Scott Klosowski said. You know, it's difficult for people to realize that we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables, but that's what we're doing, so we can connect better with technology. At what cost? We have to, when do we step back? When do we stop, step back, and ask, at what cost? And at what point do we acknowledge the cost is too high? And so in the midst of all of this dehumanization and the reduction of interpersonal interaction and real communication, you have the other storyline, I believe, that we're talking about, where people are not getting together, you know, like the little old men in the coffee shop before they go to work or continue on with the rest of their day, where they're talking about, you know, the events of the day, so to speak. And that harkens back to the biblical concept of, you know, the men talking on the wall, you know, out in the square, so to speak, and people talking to one another, so that we don't all suffer from the gaslighting and the dehumanization that seems to be so rampant and pervasive, at least in my humble estimation. So last thing I'll say, getting back on track and then getting back to the phones, when you stack all of these things up, you know, operational directives on lying. Mike Pompeo tells us the CIA is very practiced in the art of lying. When you look at Trevor Aronson's 2015 TED Talk, how this FBI strategy actually creates U.S.-based terrorists. The FBI is better at creating terrorists than they are at catching them, Trevor Aronson says, based on years of research, poring over DOJ convictions and prosecutions, not guessing. J. Michael Springman, CIA visas for terrorists, and for that matter, all of the bizarre and unusual events of September 11, 2001, and, you know, those predating and after, obviously. Who creates Manchurian patsies? You know, who creates Manchurian candidates and patsies? What did Lee Harvey Oswald say? I'm a patsy. James Earl Ray was a patsy. There are so many examples. The lone wolf, a.k.a. known wolf, as Patrick Henningsen points out. Who engages in targeted assassinations? Who created and benefits from the Gladio operational modus operandi? Who creates Gladio networks? Gladio B, Gladio C. Who benefits from strategy of tension events? You know, as you look at these sorts of events, the strategy of tension, you know, Vincenzo Vinciguerra gave the definitive sort of definition: attacking civilians, people, innocent women and children, unknown people far removed from any political game. And he said the reason was quite simple. These attacks are supposed to force the people, the general public, the general populace, to turn to the state to ask for greater security. Well, who benefits more than the national security state apparatus in that scenario? Who has motive? Who has means? Who has opportunity? And the more you look at these events, these high-profile events that are suspicious, again, when you look at Stephen Paddock, how did he benefit from all of that? What was the motive? Even the FBI's legendary BAU can't figure out what is the motive. There's no motive. A year later, we've investigated for a year, no motive. Really? Then why plan for a year and spend over – when was the last time you ever heard of anyone spending over a year planning something and spending over $100,000 to do something they had no motive for doing? Does that make any sense to anyone with their head screwed on halfway straight? So lying, creating terrorists, you know, creating a funnel and a network to, you know, usher those terrorists, you know, again, CIA visas for terrorists. You have the gun walking, which is it's just a component of the same Gladio style network. Manchurian patsies, lone wolves, aka known wolves, targeted assassinations, Gladio strategy of tension, Operation Northwoods as the sort of emblematic example, Iran-Contra, you know, things that I've talked about recently, Iran-Contra, Joe Wilson, all of the books that have been written on that. Jonathan Quitney and Gary Webb are the two big ones that come to my mind always immediately. Joe Wilson telling his story about the more recent, more modern incarnation of this nonsense when the Bush administration and Donald Rumsfeld in particular are trying to convince the American public, look, it's weapons of mass destruction. They create the Office of Special Plans. They're trying to stovepipe intelligence. Joe Wilson is supposed to go find something he can't find. You know, Wes Clark's 7 countries in 5 years. Speaking of that, in the Office of Special Plans, you know, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Yemen, and others, Kosovo, the Balkans, Panama, there's a long history. RAND Corporation has done the definitive work on nation building, including the Beginner's Guide to Nation Building, which always involves destabilizing countries in advance of stability operations to stabilize and reconstruct, which usually involves stealing natural resources and the wealth of a nation in an effort to, you know, reconstruct in our own fiendish image. It's like Smith in the Matrix, you know, me, me, me. Patrick Claussen's admission back in 2012, this is how it works. You know, it's always a false flag incident that gets us into conflict. Who benefits from all of this? And so you have to ask, when you start stacking up all of this information and all of this evidence and all of the patterns of history, these recurrent themes, don't we have to ask? Isn't it irresponsible not to ask? Could this possibly be one of those kinds of events? Could Austin Eubanks' untimely passing possibly be connected to some kind of strategy of tension scenario? Was Sidney Aiello trying to cry out to Jeremy Richman? Maybe she trusted him. Maybe she thought maybe she could confide in him, as we've talked about on this broadcast. And the other young man, I still can't remember his name, Parkland survivor who allegedly committed suicide. Again, two kids from the Parkland incident back in March, and Jeremy Richman, father of Aviel Richman. And this is not suspicious. We shouldn't look closer now. Austin Eubanks, Columbine, Sandy Hook, and Parkland are the big ones that have been shoved down our throats recently, if not beyond. But these things aren't suspicious. Isn't it irresponsible not to ask? Isn't it an injustice, a social injustice to them and to others? If there was something going on and we didn't find out, and maybe, you know, again, for instance, as we discussed when we talked about this previously, if someone like Sidney Aiello, for example, was trying to sound the alarm, trying to confide in someone like Jeremy Richman, for example, wouldn't it be a social injustice for us to gloss over and just continue on without looking into these events further? It seems to me it would be. And as you know, but again, most people are not aware of these kinds of things, right? It doesn't pop immediately to mind for most people that Trevor Aronson told us back in 2015 that the FBI is better at creating terrorists than it is at catching them. And that's a fact of history. That's not a speculation or it's not hyperbole. It's not literary device. He's not trying to be sensational for effect. He's saying, based on years of research in the post 9/11 era, after looking at the DOJ prosecutions, the fact is the FBI is better at creating terrorists than they are at catching them. And again, when you look at the folks who have come out, again, J. Michael Springman, you know, I didn't want to clear these people for visas, but the CIA's Jeddah consulate said, no, you need to wave these people through. And they were terrorists, known terrorists. And this is something that, and, you know, folks like Philip B. Haney, talking about the same sorts of networks operating here in the States, when did you stop, pause, start asking serious questions and demanding answers? When do we do that? We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat, very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I just don't understand when you start looking at these. Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced the Strong Cities Network. We know she's a liar. We know she lied. John Brennan ran the CIA, talked about suborning individuals. He lied. We know he lied. Comey ran the FBI, the organization that creates terrorists better than it catches them. We know he lied. James Clapper oversaw all of these organizations as the DNI. We know he lied. Mike Pompeo recently talked about how that's a staple of tradecraft, lying. Bragged about it. None of these people are in prison. Michael Cohen's in prison for lying. None of these people are. And they still have the credibility, apparently, and the audacity to go out into the public eye. I mean, if it were you or I dare say you and I would not have, I mean, we would shrink from the public eye. We would not have the hubris, the sociopathic hubris to go out and do this. It's almost like a deranged sickness. You know, think about it. Think about in your own community, if you were publicly not shamed, but if it was splashed all over the local media that you had lied, and it was apparently a proven fact, you probably wouldn't be parading around trying to assert your subject matter influence. These people, they do. And so now, you know, we know all of these people lied, and yet we're hearing about this finger pointing again at this moment, which to me is very curious, very odd. What has come of that over the last 2 years, for example? Anything? 2-3 years? Nothing that I can tell. Nothing of any benefit or any value. It seems like misdirection and distraction. None of them, there's been no accountability. We know that, you know, speaking of that, Hillary Clinton lied. We might as well throw that in there. And I'm not singling these people out alone. I'm just saying the intelligence community in particular, and the defense security, the DefSec apparatus, the national security intelligence apparatus, you know, so AG, CIA, FBI, DNI, NSA, all of these agencies, federal independent agencies that coordinate, pollute, and conspire to do nefarious things, tradecraft. What accountability is there, and how long do we allow this kind of thing to persist until we stop and we don't allow the distractions, the Chinese fire drill, the media circus, to distract us away from sticking on a thing, saying, you know what, we're going to stay here until we get answers that make sense. Brett Hampton was right. When you start getting answers that don't answer and explanations that don't explain, you ought not move on. Third hour coming up, we'll go back to the phones.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.